Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from Beckwell.
Still a lot to do here. Magnificent, marvelous Monday edition of You Better You Bet. We will continue with the rapid fire recap, fantasy betting notes from every single game. Sunday, that was week 2 in the National Football League. Lockmas, day 1 this week is coming up. Ken's thoughts on the Heisman Trophy market. Power hour, final hour, all our bets for tonight for the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. Side total and props. We're less than 30 days away, believe it or not, from the start of the NBA season. And our resident NBA prop master, the great Rick Camp, is going to give us some of his thoughts early on the NBA season, maybe some win totals, other stuff that has caught the great Rick Camp's eye. And Ken and I will also give you an early look at week number 3, all the spreads you need to know about in the National Football League. Joining us now to give his early takes on week number 3 in the National Football League and a little recap of what we saw yesterday is our pal, the great whale capper, the great Drew Dinsick. He is on Twitter at whale_capper. His podcast is The Deep Dive with our buddy Andy Molitor, also of the NBC Sports Edge. Whale, welcome back to You Better You Bet. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, a magnificent, marvelous Monday here on BetQL. How did week 2 NFL Sunday treat you and yours?
Fellas, thanks again, as always, for having me. I love catching up with you guys, especially on a Monday when things are fresh and we get to kind of correctly frame all the results we saw just a day ago. And overall, week 2 was not great, but I think in general we're getting a better read on some of these teams, and sides have gone well for me so far this season, but for some reason I cannot find a winning total to save my life. So I'm gonna have to kind of scale back, or at least reconfigure how I'm deploying my capital this week, and maybe just focus on some sides while the total market works itself out. But ultimately, I thought you got some pretty fair results across the board yesterday. I think in general, some of the sides that were pretty clearly the right side / sharp side, some of the stuff that got steamed pretty aggressively, didn't really ever have a chance. And that was shocking. It's rare that you see that. Results go against some of the market makers that way. But so be it. And looking forward to week 3.
Well, one thing that has come up on social media a lot, Rob Pizzola, who we have on the show all the time, he brought it up. Adam Chernoff, who we have on the show, he brings this up a lot, especially the last couple of years. And I know you have brought this up on our show before, the value of home field advantage and how to kind of interpret that when making numbers on games. Especially this season, we've seen home field advantage decline kind of in the last couple of years. There's an argument about whether there even is home field advantage anymore. So I know you said you've been doing pretty well on sides. We obviously have a full slate of sides this week. As you're making numbers for these games, how do you kind of interpret what we've seen with home field advantage? And how do you try to make the proper adjustment if there is one?
Well, I mean, this is going on now the third season where I really have very little, if any, home field advantage in general, like in a neutral game. I will incorporate some, again, it's funny too, because everybody in the space who comments on this stuff talks about, well, how many points is it? Is it 1? Is it 2? 2.5? 3? Are you using 3 points for home field advantage? And that's like, it's a funny, complete misconception of how you ought to apply it. Like
Chris Collinsworth really thinks it's worth like 15 points based on his comments during the broadcast last night. And he works for Pro Football Focus. There you have it, I guess. Right. I mean, geez.
It's not worth 15. I can tell you that much. But in general, like it's an adjustment to the expected win probability. And if you're around a key number, that might be 0 points or half a point. If you're in the middle of, no man's land between key numbers, it might be 2, 2.5 points still. So far over the balance of the season, I came in lower than market. Market had maybe, 1.5, 2-ish. If you want to think of it that way, or 4% added win probability, for the home teams. And I've been using about 2% added bonus outside of some notable examples where I feel like there really is something else going on. And you know, there's a lot of situational factors that I think still matter in the NFL, and accounting for all that appropriately is important. But like, even just 2 weeks into the season, I can tell you that, you know, injuries and travel fatigue and just in general scheme matchups and that stuff have all been wildly more important than any kind of home field advantage. And, you know, it's a credit, I guess it's a credit to the way that the NFL has kind of trained their officials. You don't really, you know, you used to be able to get a lot of your win probability bump as the home team because you would get a little bit of a, you know, home bias from the refs. And the, you know, in general, they've done a concerted effort to get the officiating to be true neutral. And in doing so, I think you really only get home field advantage now when you have, you know, egregious travel or travel fatigue or, you know, some specific, you know, matchup advantage you can take advantage of. And otherwise, it's just it doesn't seem to manifest much.
True neutral, a.k.a. bad across the board everywhere. Well, let's turn our attention to week number three card. Your favorite look early on coming up week number three in the National Football League is what?
Oh, man. Well, probably Patriots, I guess, hosting the New Orleans Saints. The Saints now have been outside of New Orleans and, you know, kind of on this traveling road show here as they haven't had a home base. Going on 3 weeks now. And, you know, this is another road game for them where they're going to have to spend another week away from home. I'm sure things are getting really, really dicey with, you know, some of these coaches and, you know, people who have families, on top of the fact that a bunch of the assistant coaches are still dealing with the COVID outbreak, on top of the fact that, you know, this is putting a lot of wear and tear on the players moving all around and not really having a place to kind of, you know, recover and recuperate from a very, you know, difficult task, which is playing an NFL game. And you have a number of New Orleans defenders who are still limited from injury. You have, you know, some continuity issues with, you know, breaking in the new quarterback in Jameis Winston and going up against a well-coached, stout defensive team like the Patriots, who they haven't had to travel much so far this season, home game week one to New York week two, back at home this week. And you're starting to see a little bit more wrinkles in the Mac Jones offense for the Patriots. I thought their pass run split was starting to get a little bit more plus EV in week two compared to week one. And I think the Patriots can get a pretty comfortable win against the Saints on Sunday. So I laid the 2.5 last night. It's up to 3 now. It's still a very, very favorable 3. You can get it basically plus 100, plus 102 if you shop around, still at minus 3. Ultimately, my fair price there is going to come in around 4.
Well, usually we kind of leave it open-ended. Obviously, we just ask you what games you like. But there's a game – I mean, there's really 2 games of the week. They're both, you know, one's at 4:25, one's the night game this week. But this Tampa-Rams game, I feel like, is absolutely fascinating. We've already seen line movement come in toward Tampa Bay, who opened a 2-point dog. Now they're about pick, 1-point favorite, depending on where you look. And the total, I believe, is holding at 54.5. Yeah, that's true. So just kind of your initial impression of what I think, you know, has the potential to really be one of the games of the season, 2 of the top teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, I favor Tampa in this one. I make them about 2.5 points better than the Rams on a neutral. I laid the money line at plus, or I took the money line at plus 110 last night for Tampa Bay. I think they're the better team just in general. And really, I love their matchup of that offense against this Rams defense, which I find to be pretty suspect. I think there are a lot of matchup advantages here that favor Tampa Bay. I like in general, you know, a defense that's going to be aggressive, that's going to get after the pass, you know, with the pass rush against Matt Stafford. Really the Rams, while, you know, they have obviously gotten 2 hard fought wins this season, in my opinion, have really not been tested to the degree that they're going to be tested against Tampa Bay, specifically on, you know, their defense, some of the limitations there. Put 2 hats on Aaron Donald, throw away from Jalen Ramsey. There are a multitude of, you know, weapons, and, you know, they go 4 or 5 deep in the passing game for Tampa Bay. So the idea that you're going to be able to find, matchups that you like to pick on if you're Tom Brady in this game, I think is pretty high. I was disappointed that Tampa didn't do better against the Rams last year in the regular season. That was kind of a fluky game on that one primetime spot we had where the Rams went down to Tampa and got the win. Pretty much every matchup advantage in this game for me is in favor of Tampa Bay. And so I would expect them to close a small favor here. Happy I got the plus 110 on the money line.
You better, you bet. BetQL, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley chatting week number two, looking ahead to week number three with our pal Drew Dinsick, the whale capper of NBC Sports Edge on this magnificent and marvelous Monday. Drew, on this tremendous, terrific Thursday coming up here, I don't know how good this game's going to be, but the Panthers are 7.5-point favorites against Davis Mills and the Texans. Total here is 43. Any early look here, Thursday night football?
Oh, my goodness. What a trash game. Holy smokes. Sam Darnold going up against Davis Mills. This one, boy, I mean, ultimately, Houston's probably the right side at 7.5. I can't imagine any world where Sam Darnold is laying 7.5 points on the road, even against one, you know, what might ultimately be a team that is actively trying to lose. But, you know, Houston has played hard outside of, you know, the couple of moments that, you know, Cleveland got the better of them in that game yesterday. I thought they played admirably. And, you know, it's a team that doesn't have, you know, star power or depth, but they have a bunch of experienced guys who are trying hard and are at least earning their paychecks and, you know, do not want to go out there and get embarrassed. And so the fact that they're going to have a home game as 7.5-point dogs going up against a Carolina team that, you know, is a paper tiger, in my opinion. You know, great job you beat the Jets. You only scored 19 points on that horrific defense. You know, great job you beat the Saints. The Saints had, you know, were completely out of sorts from Jump Street in that one. I don't think either of those results are indicative of what you actually have with the Carolina Panthers team that is league average at best, in my opinion. And I don't see that the Houston team at home is 7.5 points worse than average. So if I had to take a side, I'd take Houston on this one. I think it probably closes 7. And so if you want to bet this game, if you have that sort of sickness in you, I think take the 7.5 now, because you won't have the hook later this week.
If you have that sickness, take the 7.5. Just always sage advice with the Houston Texans. Well, there's one division that's kind of, you know, stood out, obviously, early season storylines, and it's the NFC West. We talked about the Seattle-Tennessee game. It's only week two, but it's the only loss that the division has, so it feels like it matters a ton. You have the Rams, Arizona, and San Francisco all undefeated. They're 2-0. Seattle obviously wins in week one. They beat the Colts, but they lose yesterday. They're 1-1. When we get to the end of the season, now having seen two games from each of these teams, you know, how do you see it end up shaking out at the end? Do you like one team more than the other now we've seen everybody for a couple?
I can't tell you that there is a team that's not – these teams all have principal flaws, and I don't think any of them is going to challenge – Tampa Bay when push comes to shove for the NFC title. And realistically, I think they all have super, super easy schedules. So you are going to have at least two, probably three playoff teams out of these four, maybe four. I mean, it's not crazy. Just looking at how weak the rest of the NFC is. I mean, the NFC North is a disaster. NFC East, we know, has, you know, huge, huge problems across the board. There may be an NFC South team that gets to 10 wins besides the Bucks. But realistically, you know, all four of these teams are going to be able to, you know, win their coin flip games, win their, you know, their games. You know, they're going to be favored by 3.7 points and, you know, across the majority of their schedule. So you're going to get a lot of wins, but not a lot of covers. Seattle's loss yesterday to Tennessee was mind-blowing. I watched a lot of the first half of that game, and it was like two teams on two completely different levels. And the fact that Seattle did not put their foot on their throats, that they let Tennessee fight their way back into that game, was, I think, indicative of why you can't feel great laying the points with Seattle, even at home. And then similarly, you know, the first half for the 49ers was pretty troubling. The fact that they got into halftime with the lead was a somewhat deceptive scoreline, and they were able at least to, at that point, to pin their ears back to a degree and really kind of limit the Eagles in the second half of that game, which is probably how, you know, the Niners are going to have to win ugly unless they're going up against the worst of the NFL this season. Don't love their offensive ceiling in terms of explosive plays. And then similarly, the Rams, I think, have a humongously suspect defense. I know they have the best defensive player in the league in Aaron Donald, that Jalen Ramsey can, you know, make game-changing plays. But some of the depth issues on this team and some of the places you can attack them and your ability to out-physical them in the running game, all those are red flags for me. So I guess that leaves Arizona, who is poorly coached, in my opinion. I hate the concepts that Cliff Kingsbury is running out there. But as long as Kyler Murray is healthy and, you know, he has this You know, he has weapons like Hopkins and now the emergence of Rondale Moore. You know, that's a team that's going to be able to score 30 despite their coaching flaws. So, you know, assuming Kyler Murray stays healthy, I guess I would give them the slight lean and, you know, particularly with respect to, you know, to division price.
Rams plus 175, Niners plus 200, Arizona and Seattle both plus 400 at our show sponsor Bet Rivers to win the NFC West. Drew, let's close with this. Have only like 20 seconds to go here. Do you have a play tonight for Monday Night Football? Packers 11.5 against the Lions, total 49 in about 15 seconds.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the Packers are the right side here every which way. You know, the market's been moving in their direction all week. And realistically, I don't see any way that you're going to get the same kind of effort you got out of Detroit against San Francisco when they were at home. This feels like one-way traffic for Green Bay. I played Detroit team total under 17.5. I think there's a realistic shot considering the weather, considering what Goff has going in the passing game, that Detroit might not get touchdowns in this one. This could be a real ugly one.
Well, you are nothing, but I don't know. I screwed that up.
Where was that going to go?
I screwed it up. I was going to say that you're beautiful and so is your analysis, but I screwed it up. So, Whale, you're beautiful and so is your analysis. Stay well. Good luck tonight. We'll talk to you down the road.
Oh, much appreciated, guys. Best of luck to you as well.
All right. I'll spend the next break picking up my ego from that horrendous throw to break here. And more rapid fire recap on the other side. Magnificent Monday. BetQL.
From pro basketball to Nikki football, soccer bets, and so much more, we've got you covered. It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley from BetQL.